From the home of the Packers, a look at the game through the player's eyes. This is Inside Lambeau.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside DJ Williams, the second-year tight end on our Arkansas. He told me before we came on the air that he's going to catch every ball thrown his way, and if he drops it, it's not his fault.
I won't say that much, but I don't plan on dropping any.
All right, let's talk about training camp. How's it been going for you in your second year? How much have you grown from year one?
It's been going great. You know, obviously not satisfied yet. Still got ways to improve in many ways, but as far as last year and this year, I think it's black and white. It's completely different. You know, we had a lockout. I was basically sitting on my couch, working out, and then sit on my couch. Came up here 2 weeks later, played an NFL game against the Browns, gave up a sack, a fumble, and they returned it for a touchdown in my first game ever. So it's a big step from year one and year two.
I know. You got to be looking forward to year two. You've been making some one-handed grabs in practice. I've seen it with my own eyes. Do you think, as a tight end, how much can you help the Green Bay Packers this year?
I'd like to say a whole lot more than last year. I feel like we're in a position here at Green Bay that we have so many different types of tight ends. You got Jamichael, he's like the Ferrari. You got Crabtree, he's the bulldozing blocker. You know, Ryan, he's in that, you know, big body, special teams, you know, making plays on offense as well. Corliss kind of meets in the middle, and I want to be that guy who kind of throws a little mix in every single place that we have. And so that's what I'm trying to work on in camp. And so far, it's working out all right.
All right. Now, I know you look back at last year and some of the things that you want to improve on this year. I mean, you've been catching the ball. I mean, a lot of people don't know at home, this guy won the Mackey Award for one of the best tight ends in the country in college at Arkansas. What are some of the things that you wanted to improve on?
Just being more comfortable on the field. I remember times last year I'd get out hoping that I didn't mess up. Now I'm getting on the field in preseason hoping that they throw the ball my way or they run my way. And so that's a completely different mindset, and that's what I wanted to accomplish. And so far it's working out all right.
So the game has slowed down for you. How much has Aaron Rodgers helped you out? And your timing with him obviously is a lot better.
Yeah, it's huge to get on the same page with the guy throwing the ball and calling the plays. And it helps now I'll be in practice and we'll – last year, he used to have to tell me something. This year, after we run a play, we can just look at each other and kind of nod and understand what we want to accomplish in the next play. So it's pretty good having that chemistry.
And he can throw a hard ball. I mean, here's a guy who can really rip it down the field. What's it like catching a ball from Aaron Rodgers, the league MVP?
You just don't want to drop it. You know, that's the one you want to please and make sure that he'll come back to you on the next play. But he does bring it.
Yeah, you know, one thing Aaron Rodgers said, if he throws the ball in your direction, you should catch it all the time. I mean, he gets kind of frustrated when guys drop balls, and that's the way he is.
He does get hot, but that's just his competitive nature, and that's, you know, our responsibility. And us professionals, that's what we get paid to do, is catch the ball.
You got a great opportunity this year. Andrew Corliss is probably, he's hurt, mm-hmm. coming back from a knee injury. So are you really looking forward to making a big impact this season and getting, obviously, playing time from game one, the season starts?
I really am. I'm just a competitor myself, and I do understand the coaches do what is best for the team, and I want to be a part of what's best for the team. And so, you know, I want to get out there, play, make plays, and help my team in any way possible.
You mentioned coaches. How about Coach McCarthy? A lot. He's a player's coach. A lot of the guys really like Coach McCarthy. How much has he helped you, and have you ever had any private moments with him that's really just stuck in your head and you taken with you?
I don't know about any private moments. He calls me sometimes at night, you know, but I'm usually too busy to pick up.
You're too busy to pick up for the coach?
A little too busy. We got some extreme Call of Duty action going on where I stay. Uh-huh. But I may catch him walking through and tell him I'll catch him, you know, maybe tonight or something. But as far as players coach, he's that type of coach who can get you amped up, ready to run through a wall, and at the same time, you know, you respect him and you want to make sure you do what he tells you to do, because he's that type of coach. He doesn't make you feel like you need to follow him. You want to follow him.
Yeah, that's one thing good to hear. Now, as far as you were 15-1 last year in the regular season, do you guys think you can get better as an offense?
Of course. Watching film, you know, we left a lot out on the field. You know, there's times, you know, our defense stepped up when we were slacking. There are times we picked it up when the defense was slacking. I think this year as a team, we want to get on the same page and make the points go up and the other team's points go down. And if that works, then we'll usually win.
DJ Williams, he is bringing it today. We'll be back with more Inside Lambeau right after the break. Everybody, and welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burke, alongside DJ Williams. Where's number 84? Catching everything coming his way this year. Made that big promise. Now let's talk about learning. as a rookie last year. Okay. I think you guys were playing the Minnesota Vikings. I think it was a Monday night game.
Right on.
And you were watching the game, and you forgot that you were supposed to be out on the field at one time, and you ran out on the field. Aaron Rodgers had to call a timeout. Tell us about that teaching moment right there and what happened.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. I think the play before, Andrew Corliss caught a ball, and he was running, possibly could have scored, and he tripped. And so me and Ryan Taylor were sitting on the sideline, well, standing right there, and I was just, we were both looking at the Jumbotron, pointing, laughing, you know, look at Drew, he should have scored, he's an idiot, he fell down. And at the corner of my eye, I see my position coach sprinting down the sideline, pointing at me, not sure what he was saying, it was just a lot of stuff going on. And I look on the field, everybody's looking, I was like, I already know what this means. They're missing someone, and it's probably 84. So I run out on the field, play clock's running down. I already know that something's going to happen. A-Rod looks at me kind of like a, has to call the timeout, you know, and then didn't dress out the next week or two. I mean.
Or three.
It is what it is, but it's a great learning experience. And even now in practice, I'm standing right by the coach. You learn quick.
So you were watching the game and not paying attention to when your number was called.
Yeah.
What did you learn from that to make sure that never happens again? Because, I mean, you guys were ahead in the game. You were winning the game. But you hate to, for that something to happen because you kind of walk with your head down a little bit.
You learn that, you know, you got to help your teammates out. Because if I would have worked out with Corliss a little bit harder in our agility drills, he never would have tripped. And I never would have been looking at the Jumbotron laughing at him. So it kind of goes back to the offseason. That's what I'm focused on this year, helping out my teammates.
How much heat and how much were the guys ribbing on you for that play?
I guess it's one of those things where you just like, you got to pay attention. You know, there's nothing we can do about it now. Just make sure it never happens again. And I don't think it happened again. I may have been laid out on a field goal one time, but it wasn't that bad. We got the kickoff. It was good.
Okay, let's talk about what you like to do outside of football, because, you know, football is like almost like a 24-hour day job for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys in the locker room tell me you're a pretty good fisher. I don't believe it. Are you a good fisher?
I reel them in. The hook doesn't even stay in the water that long. You know, the fish bite, I reel them in. I'm usually with Samson Genus, B.J. Coleman, Randall Cobb. We're out there fishing. I reel them in. Samson takes them off for me because I don't touch them. I don't do that.
Well, you don't want to touch the fish?
I don't know. I can wrestle a cow, but I can't touch a fish. What's going on? I don't know exactly what happened, but we have a good time, you know, outside of here, trying new things. We'll come over to my place. I'll play the piano. Randall will try to sing. We've actually talked about shaving my beard because if you look back, you've never seen me without this. So we may try something new. So we try to just keep it all mixed up in the, you know, outside of these walls.
Now let's talk about this wrestling cow thing, okay? And I've been reading so much about you wrestling cows. I mean, some of those guys might want to believe it, but I'm not believing you taking on a cow.
Oh, it's just, it starts off as cow tipping. And it just depends how the night goes. I mean, it's a live or die situation, but y'all, I've already invited anyone to come down to Arkansas and go with me.
So is this a true story? Are you really taking on cows? I mean, is your nose growing right now, or are you telling me the truth?
I can't sit here and prove it.
You got any video?
I do not have. I have a picture, but I can't because I'm getting in my personal life, but it's cool.
Let's get personal. We'll get personal, right?
I said it. It impresses women, you know? So I was like, hey, let's go cow tipping with the girls, with one of my buddies. We went, you know, go cow tipping. I can't tell, you know, who the woman was because, you know, I'm currently working on something right now, and I don't want to – I'm already in trouble, but it's okay. But
we like to get people in trouble on the show as long as we're having a good time. Now, the actual cow tipping, so you're actually tipping the cow and
– The theory is they're asleep, but they don't sleep standing up in the first place. So it just kind of turns into, you know, see if you can touch it. But if you touch one that's close to its baby – the mother gets aggressive, and then it turns into a heated situation.
Well, we need you to catch some balls this year. Let's make sure one of the cows doesn't turn on you and tip you.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's DJ Williams. I'm Rod Burks. Inside Lambo. We'll be back with much more after the break. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Inside Lambo. This handsome guy right next to me, his name is DJ Williams. He plays tight end for the Green Bay Packers, expecting to have it a big year. Now, DJ, for some of the people at home that really don't know what your childhood was like, can you talk a little bit about what your childhood was like and dealing with your father?
A lot of it was, you know, they did a big story on it. You know, ESPN did that whole shebang on E60, but long story short, you know, raised up in an abusive household and caused my family to move to live in shelters here and here and that, and we ended up living in Arkansas, living in a shelter. I can't know exactly how long it was, but it seemed too long. But mom didn't have anything, you know, she put her kids on her back and, you know, raised us from nothing and to where we are now. My sister just got engaged, just graduated, got her master's. My other sister's married, has two kids, they're all growing up, and now I'm here sitting in here talking to fine people like you. So it's all worked out pretty good for DJ, and it all, you know, goes back to how strong my mom was.
I really appreciate and respect that. I mean, did you, when you were growing up, were you saying to yourself, why me, why me?
I've always tried to figure out why I've had the attitude I've had. I've never really been bitter or upset or anything. I just understand, I guess, from watching my mom, that if you want something, the only person stopping you is yourself. And she was a perfect example. And I think that's why I am the way I am nowadays. You know, I don't need coaches to push me. I don't need other people to motivate me, because I know what I want. And there's only one way to do it, and that's to, you know, not let yourself talk you out of it.
And how big has your mom been in your life to where you are today? I mean, you must really love her.
She's great. I mean, you don't understand and appreciate what, you know, they do for you until you get older. And I struggle with keeping up with my bills, and I have late fees all the time. You know, there's insurance, there's dental. I mean, I can't even think of all this stuff. And she did this with absolutely no money. You know, a car that barely worked, moved to a different state she's never been to before, and no support. And it's unbelievable what she did, and I thank her for it every day.
Yeah, your dad's currently incarcerated now. Mm-hmm. What is your relationship with your dad? Obviously, he's got to know you play with the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Has he reached out to you? Have you talked to him? Yeah. Where's that relationship at right
now? He has reached out, and, you know, everyone in my family has talked to him except my mom and myself. I haven't spoke to him in, I think, 12 years, and that's something I'm working on, you know, the whole forgiveness factor. And I'm sure I will be there one day. And, you know, it's hard to say, you know, I can't thank him for anything, because he has given me my competitive edge. You know, he taught me to never quit and how, you know, to go about doing your stuff when it comes to athletics in that way. And so I do give him some credit in my, you know, athletic field, but I give my mom almost all my credit for putting me in a position to succeed.
And do you think that you, in your heart, do you think you could forgive your dad when he finally gets out of prison someday?
I know I'll be there one day, and that's, and I've always thought about once he gets out, what happens. You know, I'm sure there will be some contact one day. But, you know, I'll probably still be tight with you, and I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I'm sure you're expecting to have a big year this year. What kind of goals are you putting on yourself?
I just want to, you know, establish my identity on the team. You know, last year was kind of, you know, who is DJ Williams? I want to take care of that this year.
And Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's got so many different people to throw to. You got to say, hey, Aaron, I'm over here. Don't forget, throw me the ball. You can count on me.
It's cool.
I'm not a rookie anymore.
It's cool. I mean, I gave him my phone number. He used to have my number, and then I changed phones. You know, I just gave you my new number.
All right.
And, you know, I felt bad this whole offseason. He was probably trying to reach me. And so, but, you know, I gave him my new number now. We'll probably get back on the same page. I don't want to ruin that friendship. Oh, Lord.
All right. This is DJ Williams, and I'm Rod Burks for Inside Lambeau. What a show we had. And we'll be back with Tom Silverstein after the break.
Third and five of the Green Bay 19. Here comes a blitz. Harrell waits, now being flushed, rolling right, on the run, looking to make the turn. He does for the first down across the 20. He's out of bounds at the 26-yard line.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside Tom Silverstein of the Journal Sentinel. He breaks stories. He knows Packers. He does Packers better than anybody in the country. So let's start talking about Packers. Of course, everybody just saw a shot of Graham Harrell. Do you think the Packers believe in this guy after two preseason games?
Well, I don't know what you say when, you know, your best highlight right there is a, you know, an 8-yard run for a first down. And clearly that was his best highlight. I think on the surface they're saying they believe in Graham Harrell, but I think, you know, down inside they're not really certain. And I think they need to see something in these last two games. They've got to find out whether he can lead a drive, whether he can get them in the end zone, whether he can play consistent football. He is playing with some guys who aren't going to play in the NFL.
Right.
They're making mistakes, but that's been the case since the beginning of time.
Right.
You know, guys like Ty Detmer, Matt Hasselbeck, Mark Brunell, all these guys had to do the same thing, and now it's time for him to
do it. You kind of want to see that spark. You want to see that momentum, him moving. I mean, he misfired on a few passes. He struggled to get out of the pocket a little bit. I mean, he's struggling right now.
He is. He is. He's throwing behind guys. In the San Diego game, he was throwing pretty errantly. There's not a lot of good timing there. He's got to just settle down, and he's got to, you know, stand in the pocket, and he's got to make his throws, and he's got to be more accurate.
Any chance that the Packers would ever bring somebody off the waiver wire or bring somebody else in?
Oh, no question they would. You know, if they're convinced at the end of this, training camp that he can't win them a game and he can't come in and at least make them competitive in a single game, then they have to go out and look for somebody. And that's their job. That's Ted Thompson's job. And I think they will be looking unless he steps up and really kind of plays better ball.
Yeah, let's talk about, Ted Thompson went out and brought a running back in. First of all, I'll start out with James Starks. What's going on with James Starks? Here's a guy who had some success, you know, as a rookie coming in. I mean, he helped get these guys to the Super Bowl. He can't stay healthy. And that's a big problem.
I can't figure it out because I predicted great things for him when he was a rookie. I thought the guy has so much talent. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He's a natural runner. But he, like you said, he's hurt all the time. There's always something that's just keeping him from, you know, becoming that back. So they did what they have to do, and that's, you know, go to the next guy, which is Cedric Benson, the best available running back, at least a guy they believe is the best available. And I believe he's going to be their starter against San Francisco. I think he's going to step right in there. Starks isn't going to be ready.
Now, he had his practice and pads, and he looked pretty good. Coach McCarthy said he looks fast out there. I mean, he looks a little bit faster than Ryan Grant and, you know, James Starks. How do you think he looks?
Yeah, he's really good in between the tackles, and that's something they really haven't had. They need a short yardage guy, a guy to get him some tough yards. They're going a little bit more one back, and he's sort of that type of a runner. The key is going to be, one, can he hang on to the ball? He's fumbled 12 times in the last 2 years, lost 7 of them. He's got to be able to do that. He's got to be able to pass block. Those are, you know, two things they absolutely demand, and if you don't do them, you're on the bench. So that'll be a big test for him.
So you're just coming out on record saying right now he's their starting running back?
I am, yes. I predict that he'll be their starter come opening day.
So who's going to get cut loose now if Benson's in it?
They don't have a lot of backs, so they can keep Starks if they choose. Alex Green is also there. Alex Green will definitely make the team. He'll be pushing Benson all the way. I think he's going to be a really good open field runner.
All right, he's Tom Silverstein. I'm Rod Burks. We're going to have more from Inside Lambeau coming up after the break. And welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm Rod Burks alongside Tom Silverstein. He can really talk about the Packers and do a really good job. Let's talk about the defensive line. Let's start talking about Mike Neal. Here's a guy who's, you know, out of Purdue, looks great in a uniform. Is he ever going to pan out?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, the time he finally picked to come through is now, when he's going to be suspended for the first 4 games. I actually think he's had a pretty good training camp. I see a lot of speed and explosiveness out of him. Now, you know, it's different. His legs are pretty fresh because he doesn't get as many reps as the rest of the guys. But, you know, you can see what there's something there. The question is, can they wait for him? You know, after 4 games, they'll have to make a decision. Do they want to, you know, add him and cut somebody else, or do they have to move on? So it'll be a tough decision.
I'm putting you on the spot. Does he make the team, yes or no?
I'm going to say after week 4, yes, they'll bring him back.
All right, let's talk about Jarrell Worthy. He's a kid out of Michigan State. Could have been a first rounder. Some say he's lazy. I disagree. I think he's a player. What do you think about Jarrell Worthy right now?
He's a rookie. That's what I would say. He's a rookie defensive lineman, and rookie defensive linemen are often the slowest guys to really come through and make an impact. And it's going to be tough. Those guys add a lot of juice. They got, you know, Worthy, Mike Daniels. Those guys have some juice in their legs. They can get upfield. But really, those guys, you can't expect too much because it's just a different game for those guys. When they're in college, all they do is rush forward. You know, they just go after the ball. In the pros, you do that and you'll get killed. You'll get knocked off the ball. You'll get driven in the wrong direction. And so it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, transition for those guys.
We just saw some video of Worthy. Looks pretty good out there. What about Mike Daniels? What do you see out of him? I mean, he's coming back from some serious injury.
Yeah, he's coming back from a knee and groin injury that kept him out for about a week. So this will be a big game Thursday to see if he's got anything. He was really having a good camp when he first started, and then he got hurt. He's had a shoulder injury at Iowa. That kind of was a question mark with him. So, you know, he's going to be an inside pass rusher. We'll see how much he can contribute.
You brought up pass rushing, and that's what this team really needs. I mean, they couldn't get to the quarterback last year at all. What do you think about Nick Perry right now? I mean, he got a sack in the San Diego Chargers preseason game. What do you think about him in 30 seconds?
Another rookie. Big, strong guy, but he's making a transition from defensive end to linebacker, and it's going to take time. You know, he's not a natural guy playing the linebacker position, rushing from, you know, a two-point stance. But the one thing he has is power, and, you know, he can work off of that. He doesn't just rely on his speed going around the corner. The guy is very powerful, so that's a good thing to start with.
All right, he's Tom Silverstein. I'm Rod Burks. Thank you for watching Inside the Huddle. I got some good news for you, folks. We're going to be back next week. I want to see you there.